Acts chapter number 5. We're going to go to the end of the chapter and read just some of the closing verses here. I'll go back and kind of review the chapter as we go through the message, but let's see how this chapter closes out. In Acts chapter number 5, we'll begin in verse 38, Acts 5, 38. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. By the way, I'll hang my hat right there for just a second. Amen. You think about that, folks. Here was one of the Pharisees. We're going to see that he's part of a group that was trying to stop them. But he was wise enough to make an observation. He kind of goes back in verse 34 through 37 and says, hey, there's been a couple other guys that's kind of come to the forefront and claimed to be something they weren't. And you know what? We left them alone. And after a while, it came to nothing. And he said this, he said, listen, if this is of men, think about that. If this is of men, it will come to naught. And then he said this, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. And folks, over 2,000 years later, 2,200 years later, guess what? They still haven't overthrown it, you know. I think it's been proven out that this thing of salvation through Jesus Christ is not of men, but it is of God. And then in verse number 4, and then he went on to say this, yes, happily ye be found even to fight against God. Verse 40, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, and the next three words is the name of the message tonight, they ceased not. They ceased not. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, meet with us, please. Lord, I pray, dear God, we'd become part of the they ceased not crowd. Lord, thank you for the special music. Lord, it's such a blessing, and in so many ways it prepares our heart for the message. But as I listened to that particular song, I thought to myself, Lord, thank you for setting the table for this message. Lord, I pray that you'll use it, dear God, to stir our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Think about this, folks. They ceased not. We're going to take a look at this last verse here, verse number 42, and just dissect it for a few minutes. And as we do, we'll go back into chapter 5 and discover the circumstances that preceded the decision that these men made. We're not going to stop. We're not going to cease from what God has asked us to do. And so who were these men? Who is this verse number 42 talking about? Well, if you look just at verse 42, you would see they. Think about that. They. Now, who are they? These are the saved of the world. These are the first generation Christians. These are the ones that have embraced the plan of salvation, embraced the gospel. They are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are some of his disciples. They are the commissioned ones. And they heard that great commission given from the very mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they weren't just commissioned ones. They were the obedient ones. It's one thing to know the Great Commission. It's another thing to obey the Great Commission. By the way, these were part of the upper room prayer warriors. Come on, we can go back through all of the chapters leading up to this group. And maybe there's a reason that they made the decision they did in verse 42. You see, they'd spent time with Jesus and they listened to the Great Commission. They decided they were going to obey the Great Commission, and they obeyed the Lord Jesus after he ascended, watched him snatched up into heaven and disappear into the clouds. They obeyed his instruction to go to Jerusalem and tarry until they be filled with power from on high. These were the Holy Spirit filled ones. These were the turn the world upside down ones. These were the rejoicing ones. Think about that in this verse here. These are the ones who thought it a joy to be counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, there's all kinds of crowds, even in Christianity. I want to be a part of this crowd. That's the group I want to hang out with. I don't want to hang out with the quitters. I don't want to hang out with the Demases that love this present world, forsook the Lord having loved this present world. I don't want to be the part of the ones that have ceased. I want to be part of the group that says we will not cease. And so who are they? They are the true disciples and witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the first question. Who? How about this? When it says they cease not, who? They. And then, so they didn't cease to do what? To teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so think about that. They went and they had a mission. They had somebody to talk about. They had a story to tell to the nations. And they taught Jesus Christ when it was appropriate to teach people. You know, some people never heard of Jesus Christ, especially in this time. And have you heard of Jesus Christ? And somebody say, oh, you know, maybe I've heard a bit about him, or maybe I haven't heard him at all. Well, let me teach you a little bit about Jesus Christ. And they were also ones to be able to gather a crowd and preach Jesus Christ. So they were more than willing to be witnesses for the Lord. And so who were they? They were the saved ones, the disciples, the commissioned ones, the obedient ones, the Holy Spirit-filled ones. They were the ones that decided they wanted to be a part of turning the world upside down. What did they do? They decided they were going to go and teach and preach Jesus Christ. So who, what, when? How about this, the word daily there? And daily, and daily. Think about that. So they didn't do this once a week. They didn't have just a slot where they planned to go for an hour and a half on a certain evening, and that's the time I'll talk about Jesus. You know what they decided? When we go to work, we're going to talk about Jesus. When we go to the grocery store, we're going to talk about Jesus. When we go fill up our gas tank, did they fill it up? When we go fill up our camel, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about him at the family reunion. Even when it makes some of the family a little uncomfortable and may cause a little bit of angst, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and talk about Jesus. And we're going to talk about him where he's popular, and we're going to talk about him where he's not popular. We're going to talk about him when people will embrace it and love to hear it. We're going to talk about it when people might shout us down and curse at us for doing it. We're just going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to do it every single day, every single day. Hey, why don't we set that as a goal? Wouldn't it be awesome that there was never a day that went by in our Jerusalem where there wasn't a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, at least one member, talking to somebody about Jesus? You want to make it a little more personal? Why don't you just decide to set this goal? I'm not going to let a day go by where I don't talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they just decided that this was a daily activity. So who did it? These were the saved ones, the commissioned ones, the obedient ones, the Holy Spirit-filled ones. What are they doing? They're determined to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus less and less. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. When did they did it? They did it every day of their lives. I mean, it was as natural as breathing to them. And then where did they do it? Well, the Bible said this, in the temple and in every house. Now, it's interesting because we look at that word temple and we may think, and I don't think it's wrong to say this, and you know, they talked about Jesus in the church and they talked about Jesus and took that message to every single door, every single house. But folks, you got to remember, when they're talking about going to the temple, they're talking about going to the crowd that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They're talking about going to the crowd that didn't embrace Jesus Christ. Come on, go around and watch through the book of Acts. They always went to a city, and they always went first to the Jewish synagogue, but very seldom was the message embraced there. And folks, you know what? Even the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ need to hear about Jesus. And so they went to they went to the difficult places. You may think, well, it says in the temple there, so that's the church house, and it was the easy place. Folks, this is not a Jewish synagogue. Go to a Jewish synagogue today and go in and decide you're going to start talking to people about Jesus and the fact that he was the Messiah and that he died on the cross for their sins. They went to the hard places. They went to the time-consuming places. I think about that because in the temple, and then it said in, I like this, in a few houses. Is that what it says there? And in every house, we're going to talk about Operation Occupation for a few minutes tonight. Folks, listen to me. I don't believe the Bible just gives us a message. I believe the Bible teaches us methods to get the message out. Jesus is the one that said, go into all the world and take the gospel to every what? Every creature. Now you tell me how you can accomplish what I call gospel saturation without door-to-door soul winning. You cannot get the message to every creature unless you're willing to go to every door. Now, folks, this is time consuming. It was time consuming then, and it's time consuming now. And so you know what they did? They said every day, some of us are going to go door to door. Some of us are going to go down to the synagogue. If it gets us thrown in jail, and by the way, it did. Even if it gets us thrown in jail, we're going to go down to the synagogue. We're going to go to the hard places. And we're going to go to the time-consuming places. Well, why do this? Because they were obeying the Great Commission. They were obeying Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. I believe every church needs to identify its Jerusalem. I believe every church ought to look around and say, you know what, I'm glad there's other Bible preaching churches in this community. I'm glad there's other churches that go door to door soul winning. But folks, I'm just not going to assume anything. I'm just going to treat it like it's Blessed Oak Baptist Church's responsibility to go to every door with the gospel. And by the way, what everybody else does is just bonus then, amen. But if anybody else drops the ball, we don't want to drop the ball. I want to brag on you young people for just a minute. And I want to say a sincere, heartfelt thank you to our young people every single Wednesday. And they, by the way, we've done this now for decades, okay? Every single Wednesday, they gather after Christian school dismisses and they come over here. And for decades now, some adults have met them back there and prayed with them and loaded them on a bus and given them materials and taken them to the communities. Folks, listen to me. Our young people hit a lot of these every houses that we're talking about. They knock on a lot of doors. You know what? Let me just ask you a question. When did you cease? Was it right after you graduated from high school? When did you cease? Right after you left Bible college? When did you cease? When all of a sudden you don't understand we've got children now? What did it take to shut you down and take you off the streets going to every single house? Because I'm talking about a group of Christians that turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't do it by thinking that everybody else was going to do it. You know what they did it? They said, we're going to do it. And so think about what they did in the temple, the hard places. Folks, there's some hard places to speak up for Jesus. Some of you men work in those environments every day of your life. Can I say this? Speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they said I can't talk about the Lord there. Well, then you know what? Then you go to the powers that be that have declared that you can't talk about the Lord, and you make sure that it's enforced in the lives of every single person that works at your place. Because there's a lot of talking about God. There's a lot of mention in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if somebody's allowed to do it in a blasphemous way, then you're not going to tell me that I'm not allowed to lift him up and glorify him and point people. It's about time we just decided to speak up. Stop looking for a reason not to speak up for Jesus and decide you're just going to do it. Go to the hard places. Go to the difficult places, and let's take the gospel to every house. So first of all, they cease not. And let me say this also, because if we look at this verse and we just pull it out at the end of this chapter, we don't understand everything that's happened in the chapter before that. We need to understand that they ceased not despite persecution. By the way, this crowd's facing things we've never had to face. Come on, and yet they ceased not. If you go back to, let's just look back into the chapter. How about verse number 17? Think about this. You know what? There was a first persecution back in chapter number 4. There's a second persecution in chapter number 5. We're going to look in a little bit. There was another persecution in chapter 7 and 8. But here's the second persecution, verse number 17. When the high priest rose up and all they that were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now, can I say this? Right there, that's enough to stop most Christians. Just somebody gets mad. Somebody's filled with indignation. You know what that means? Somebody said, "How dare you? Who do you think you are? You can't say that. You can't speak that." And folks, can I say this? I'm sorry to report, I think 90% of Christians shut down, and that's all the persecution they ever face. Folks, listen, don't let the devil sit on your shoulder and have you view that as a negative. Listen, I just feel like if the gospel is bothering somebody that much, it must be doing something, man. All right, think about this. It must be doing something. Somebody's talking about something that doesn't matter to me and it's not bothering me, then let them talk. When somebody's talking about something that's bringing conviction in my life, then I tend to sometimes want to push back on it a little bit. And so think about this. Despite the reaction of those who oppose Christ, they ceased not. Verse number 18. Despite being thrown in prison, they ceased not. Look at this. But the angel of verse number 18, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now, you know what? I love verse number 19 and 20 because it's such an encouragement. Now think, some are filled with indignation and just tell them, "You can't talk like that." And they just get mad at them, and that shuts some people down. These folks not only faced that, but they literally laid physical hands on them and dragged them and threw them into the prison. Look at verse 19 and 20 and tell me God's not for soul winners. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And right here at the very beginning, God's just saying, "I'm not going to let this persecution shut this thing down." These folks are probably a little disillusioned right now. They're a little discouraged right now. "Hey, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know we'd have to pay this kind of price." So you know what? God didn't do this every time they got thrown in jail. But he chose at the very beginning here to say, "You go do what I say. Don't you worry about them. Don't you worry about the ones that get mad. Don't you worry about the ones that are threatening. Don't you get worried about the ones that are laying hands on you and throwing you in jail. Don't worry about it. You know what? I'm in charge ultimately. Here's the command. Go, stand, and speak." Where? Back in the hard places. "Oh, Lord, can I go back over to this little neighborhood? They were a little nicer." No, you go right back to the synagogue. And you speak up for me. And that's the call of the Lord. And that's the instruction of all the words of this life. So think about this. They ceased not despite persecution. Despite the reaction of those who opposed Christ, they ceased not. Despite being thrown in prison, they ceased not. Verse number 28. Despite being told not to preach in Jesus' name anymore, in Jesus' name, they ceased not, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold," I love this, "ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Sounds like somebody's under a little conviction here. They're being a little bothered about this. And they filled Jerusalem with the doctrine. What are this is talking about? The teachings. Doctrine simply means teachings. The teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who he truly was. Why he died. How about this? They got in trouble a lot just for preaching on the resurrection. We're getting ready to get close to Easter. Go through the book of Acts and just study how many times they brought up the subject of the resurrection. And you know what? It bothered them. It bothered the Sadducees. It bothered the Pharisees. It bothered the Orthodox Jews that someone would suggest that it was possible to raise from the dead. And so despite being told not to preach in Jesus' name, they cease not. Look at verse 33. Despite some plotting to kill them. Well, this is good for us. When I get down to verse 42 and I said they cease not, folks, this was not an easy situation. This was a very difficult thing to do. They've been threatened. They have been imprisoned. They have been told that they can't do it anymore. Now they're in verse number 33. Look at that. And it says they were cut to the heart at the end of that verse. They were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Verse number 40, despite being beaten, they ceased not. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, let's just all check ourselves because, you know, we can look around the room. We can point at people. We can point at other churches. We can point at other preachers. Why don't we just all focus on just us right now? How about you focusing on you? I'll focus on me. I got to go through this list, Brother Dan. I got to think, you know. You know what? If I have been met with hatred and indignation and then thrown in prison and then being commanded not to speak anymore in his name and then hear that there's a group of people plotting to kill me and then being beaten, would I keep going and would I keep sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so despite all of these things, you know what? We read verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But they didn't go around doing it with a poor me attitude. They didn't go around with a sadness about them and a secretness about them. No, verse 41, and they departed from the council, a presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. This was their attitude. Think about it. Jesus suffered shame for me. What an honor to be able to suffer some shame for him. That was their attitude. So think about that. They ceased not despite persecution. They ceased not despite it costing some of them their lives. I already mentioned chapter 4, first persecution. They were basically just threatened. Chapter number 5, second persecution, thrown in jail and beaten and threatened. Then it's going to get real serious, folks. Chapter number 7, you know the story of Stephen. I won't go through the whole story or the whole sermon that he preaches, but you know, here's one of those disciples that decides it's time to stand up for Jesus. He preaches a message. He preaches a message that's not very popular. And you know what? This is his closing remarks. You know when you're bringing the sermon into its summary and you're getting ready for the invitation? That started in verse number 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist. I don't think they taught me this in homiletics. I don't remember this anyway. This is how you close out a message. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. And you know, folks, very familiar. This is a Sunday night crowd. We understand this is the first recorded martyr for the cause of Jesus Christ. These men were, think about this, verse 54, they were cut to the heart. Think about this. Wow. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. Think about that. It's one thing, folks, to be cut in the heart. It's one thing to attack a man. It's another thing to beat a man. They were literally biting him. Biting him. Now think about that. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down the clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said thus, he fell asleep. Now, finally, one of them had to pay with their life. Surely now they'll stop. Surely now they'll learn their lesson. Surely now this group of new believers who's following this Jesus of Nazareth will get the hint that it's not going to be tolerated, and we're going to cut this thing off, and we're going to cut this thing short, and you know what? We won't have to worry about it. The only problem is chapter number 8 starts. Paul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Look at verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, wait a minute, this can't be right. This can't be right. Yes. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They ceased not. They ceased not. They ceased not. Folks, listen to me. I want this thing. Young people, I mentioned that. And I bragged on you a little bit. I don't want this soul winning thing to be something you do just because you're in the youth group. They ought to be something that you just decide, I'm not going to cease at this thing. And folks, listen to me. Just let me help you a little bit. And listen, Blessed Hope Baptist Church back in 1978 is not the Blessed Hope Baptist Church it was today. And we were still in our infancy as a church. You think about it, it started in 73, okay? And I want you to understand, you know, the core beliefs are the same. The core doctrines we stood for are the same. But you understand, my dad came out of the American Baptist Convention and began to start an independent fundamental Baptist church. And there was a lot of it we were still learning. Okay, there was no, in 1978 when I was a teenager here, there was no such thing as teen soul winning. Okay, every once in a while, Brother Jack, Sister Penny take us out to pass out tracts. And I'm not saying we were never taught anything about it. I'm just saying there was not an organized weekly teen soul winning. And we were learning. I'm not putting anything bad on them or my dad. I'm just telling you that's where we were at that time. And you know, they had a men's Thursday night visitation. Now, teens, listen to me. And you know what? I went to a youth rally, a youth conference, just like you went to the other night. Some of you got up to the altar, and some of you made some decisions, and some of you, God spoke to your heart. Let me ask you something. Has that wore off already? Whatever happened Friday night, have you already forgot about it? It was just another trip to an altar, just another decision, just another prayer, just another, you know. Because, listen to me, God got a hold of my life in my teenage years. And I decided, after hearing a sermon on the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I was going to spend the rest of my life telling people that story. I went to an altar and decided that, listen, at that time I wasn't called to preach. At that time I thought there was no way I'd ever be in the ministry. At that time I thought I was going to go down another path in life. But I said this. I can, no matter what I do in life, I can still go to church and I can still be involved in telling people about Jesus. And I just made that decision as a 16-year-old young man at a teen retreat that we went to, and I came back and I didn't just make a decision there, I brought it back here and did something with it. Okay, so at 16 years of age, after I got back, Thursday night, men's visitation. Okay, so Dad's getting ready to, we live in the parsonage right down here, and Dad's getting ready to walk down, and I come out of my room and I got a shirt on and a tie on, and he said, where are you going? I said, with you if it's okay. Why? I made a decision. Are you listening? I made a decision that I was going to spend my life. I wasn't called to preach yet, but I made a decision I was going to spend my life. I walked down here with some adult men. And the first teenager that ever showed up at men's visitation was Jerry Ross as a 16-year-old young man. And all the men looked at me like, well, wonder why he's here. And then I think they all kind of thought, well, why not? That's kind of cool. I mean, I don't think there's a rule. We don't check ID at the door. I think it's probably okay that he's here. Say, did you know what you were doing? No, I didn't know what I was doing. I just told Dad on the way down, you make sure you put me with somebody that can do the talking, okay? I start where everybody starts. And you know what? People like Don Mowry took me out visiting. People like Charles English took me out visiting. People like Bob Townsley took me out visiting. And you know what? I just sat back and listened to those men, and I learned from those men, and I watched those men from time to time lead somebody to Christ, and something began to burn in my soul. And I thought to myself, you know what? Just one time. I used to pray this. God, one time before I die, I just like to be able to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. I don't want to show up to heaven and not have anybody that I'd won to Christ. That was as big as my dream was at that age in my life. But I decided this, I'm going to do it. And folks, can I say this? Can I say this? Listen, by the grace of God, I've ceased not. I didn't go one Thursday, two Thursdays, and then it wore off. I went every Thursday until I went off to Bible college. You know what? When I went to Bible college, you know what I did? I joined the Fisherman's Club. You know what? Because I want to learn how to be a better soul winner. And for 2 years, I was in the Fisherman's Club being trained in soul winning. And every week, I ceased not. And then I got on a bus route up in Chicago. And you know what? Every single week of my life, I ceased not.
And I went and I knocked doors and I talked about people about Jesus. Folks, listen to me. I'm talking about now I'm 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and I cease not. Me and God leads me to my wife. And by the way, I wanted to win a woman. Or I wanted to win a woman. I wanted to wed a woman. I wanted to wed a woman. I could win a woman too, amen. I wanted to wed a woman that loved souls as much as I did, that had a burden to reach souls the same as I did. Okay? Ma'am, has your husband lost his soul-winning fire because you're the wet blanket? Sir, has your wife lost the soul-winning zeal because you're the wet blanket? Think about that. I made a decision. If I'm going to spend my life doing this, I want to marry somebody who wants to spend their life doing this. And so you know what? I ceased not. Then I graduated from Bible college and we went to Brazil, Indiana. And you know what I did every week of my life? As I'm trying to plant a church, cease not, cease not, cease not, cease not, cease not, cease not. See these knuckles right there? Every single door in Brazil and the surrounding areas, these knuckles have knocked on that door. I didn't have anybody showing up for the most part in soul winning. I didn't have anybody helping on soul winning. You know what? I didn't say, well, if somebody else would come, then I'd go, because I made a decision. I made a decision. I'm not going to be one of the used to be's. I'm not going to do it for a while it feels good. I'm not going to do it as long as I'm seeing results. I'll do it if I see results. I'll do it if I don't see results. I'll do it if people brag on me for doing it. And by the way, you'd be surprised how many times on door-to-door soul winning I have people say, thank you. Your church has a reputation for going out and bringing the gospel. Thank you for doing that. You'd be surprised how many times I hear this from church members. I don't know why our church doesn't do the same thing. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Folks, listen to me. That's great, but that's not all the reaction I get. Come on, you know, this is a soul-winning church, door-knocking church. It's not all roses out there. Boy, I've had days where it just seems like I can't catch a break. There's been days where it just feels like the devil lined up all of his children on one block and they were all going to just blast me. There's been days, honestly, I sat in my car and think, what am I even doing out here? Come on, I want you to hear me say this, because you're going to have times like that. I remember I was over doing, I don't remember which section it is, it's over towards Bloomfield where Brother Clanny's church is, not quite that far, but I was over in his area. And I'm on visitation. I'm having one of those days, and it's going terrible. It is going terrible. And I'm discouraged. I decided I was going to go to a certain time, but I'm sitting there honestly thinking, you know what, maybe I'll just quit today. You know, you say, preacher, you feel like that? Yeah, I feel like that. I'm human like everybody else. I'm sitting, and the phone rings, and Gerald, Pastor Clanny, is on the phone, and I said, hey, talk to me. And he said, where are you at? And I said, listen, I need you to talk to me right now. I need you to remind me, why are we supposed to be out here soul winning? Because if you don't give me a really good reason, I'm quitting right now. And I'm never doing this again. And he said, well, I think because Jesus told us to. And I said, all right, I'll knock some doors. All right, what else did you need here? Hey, you know what? That ought to be a good enough reason. Maybe because Jesus just told us to, you know. Now, folks, listen to me. I left Brazil, came here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, assistant pastor, and I began doing the same thing I've done. Listen, I'm 63 now, okay? Later on became pastor, youth pastor. I'm looking at these teens saying, I'm glad these are good kids. These are godly kids. These are kids are got parents are doing a great job. But you know what? We need soul winning kids. We need young people to get a burden. We need young people to get out there. We need young people to knock doors. We need young people that aren't ashamed of Jesus. Where do you get that? Acts chapter number 5. 21st century Christians need to go back and visit first century Christians. 21st century Christians, you know what, need to go back and see what they were willing to face and still do it. Preacher, I got this going on in my life, that going on in my life, this going on in my life. Okay, you have it worse than them. Sorry, I didn't realize that. You spent last night in jail, right? You can show me the scars on your back from the beatings that you've taken for speaking up for Jesus. My apologies for making you feel bad. Now, folks, you know what that's called? That's called Holy Spirit conviction. Hey, don't you get mad at the messenger here. Why don't we just look at the Bible and make some decisions? Because, folks, listen, you know what? I'd hate to think that in 15, 20, 25 years, and I don't believe it's going to happen, but I'd hate to think, people would drive by this property and say, you know, at one time that church had a bunch of red and white buses, and they used to go over and pick kids up everywhere, and, you know, I don't see any of that on their property anymore. You know, it used to be that church right there. I mean, we just count on it, you know. It even used to get us a little aggravated because it seemed like every year somebody from that church is knocking on our door out here. But, you know, we haven't seen anybody in 20 years. Now, think about that. Because, preacher, that's not possible. Oh, my goodness sakes. I could take you to 1,000 churches in America that 20 years ago, that was their testimony, and it's not their testimony. You know why? Because they ceased. It's just that simple. You know, I'm tired of having my Sundays messed up. I don't want to get up that early. I'm tired of coming home for a late lunch and the kids. And, you know, well, hey, you know what? Then let's just close the bus ministry down. Let's just cease. Okay? I mean, come on. Well, preacher, you know, another year of Operation Occupation. And you know what? It's hard and it's difficult. Tell them that. Tell them that. Now, I just kind of come up here to say, you know, are you going to quit this? Should, you know, is this just ministry honestly just got to be a little bit of an irritation to people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and Operation Occupation launch night? Oh, here we go again. And oh, I got to figure out a way how I can explain why I'm not going to do it again this year. I mean, you know, hey, nobody's putting a gun to your head. You know what? I'll leave here and I'll do what I choose to do. You'll leave here and do what you're choose. It's called individual soul liberty. We believe that. But you know what? One of these days, I'll stand before Jesus and answer for what I chose to do, and you'll stand before Jesus and answer for what you chose to do. Right. And there's still bus. I got one bus route right now that doesn't have a captain. You say, well, everybody look, oh, preacher, why don't you get somebody to be a captain? Amen. I haven't seen a line at my door. And I don't want, listen, can I just say this? I don't need anybody to be a captain that just wants the title of a captain. I wanted somebody to be a captain that's actually proven by being a worker that they're willing to pay the price and can bring kids and fill a bus up and do it. And do it. And give their heart to it. Okay? And we're running these buses. Come on, let's do something this spring program. Preacher, you're a little frustrated now. Yes, I am. I think the Lord's stirred my heart a little bit in this. I think a good pastor needs to get up and be a little frustrated every once in a while. Because folks, listen, we've got a community that needs reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just think, do you want a title or do you want a job? You know, there's still things to do out there. And there's still young people that can be reached. But we've got to do it. So, you know what? Here I am, 63, and not a good year. This past year has been probably physically the most challenging, and feel like I've fallen short. Every year that we've done this, I've done two sections all by myself, and I struggled to get part of one done. I'm not sitting here making excuses. I'm just telling you, it's been harder than I let on. But I haven't stopped. But I haven't stopped. But I haven't stopped. Okay? And Don Mary used to do it. Can't do it. Okay, Estel Cinders used to go with me in Brazil. Can't do it. Okay, you know what? I'm just kind of looking at a younger generation saying, what do you want this church to be? Is it going to be a cease not church or is it going to be a cease church? I mean, is somebody going to grab a bus route and just say, I'm not going to quit till God just fills the bus up and we see miracles again? Or are we just going to start parking them over here? I'm going to go get my CDL, and if it disrupts our Sunday, it disrupts our Sunday. I'm not looking to get out. I'm looking to get in. I mean, come on, where's the 16-year-old boy in this room? Or a 15-year-old boy, or a 17-year-old boy, or a 20-year-old boy that has a little Jerry Ross at that age, and then that just, you know, I don't know a whole lot, and maybe I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm going to go do something. Amen. I'm going to do something. Right. And just see what God does with it, you know. And so here I read this week, the first five chapters in the book of Acts, and I got down to the end there, and I thought, Wait a minute, hold on. Chapter 5 can't end with that verse, not after everything I read, everything they've gone through. It can't really say this. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach, teach and preach Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray, Lord, that you would stir us. I pray, Lord, that you would motivate us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to exercise the character, understand that these things are our duty to do, and, Lord, that we would do it because we have a love for you and that we wouldn't stop. Lord, I pray, dear God, for some that have gotten sidelined, sitting on the sideline. They were trained to do this. They know how to do this, but somehow or the other, they've become entangled in the affairs of this life, and they've got their bushel basket of excuses, and yet the world's dying and going to hell. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd stir something deep inside of them. Lord, we are looking tonight in the Bible at Christians that had every reason to quit, every reason not to. But they had a Savior that they loved, and he had given them a task to do. And they decided, with God's help, we can do this. And because of this, this first generation of Christians turned the world upside down. Lord, may you stir something deep inside of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.